I did request that song because it has absolutely everything to do with what we're going to be talking about today. But I do have an opening story for you, and it's about a young man who was a football fan, and he got a ticket to the Super Bowl, and he went to the Super Bowl. And as he was going toward his seat, he noticed a couple of aisles away, there was a lady seated waiting for the game to begin, but the seat next to her was empty. And he was curious about it, so he went up and said, "I'm sorry to bother you, but it's so strange to see a seat not occupied for the Super Bowl." And the woman said, "It's my husband's, but he died." And he said, "Geez, I'm so sorry for your loss. I really am. But still, it's kind of strange. I would have thought that some friend or family member would have wanted to come to the game." And the wife replied, "You know, I couldn't make sense of it either, but they all insisted upon going to the funeral." There's a very old expression: if you're going to make rabbit stew, first catch a rabbit. And that old expression and that joke that I told are right on topic today, because today we're going to spend some time talking about priorities. This is a Power Sunday, and the power that we are studying and talking about today is the power of order, or divine order. Divine order is an expression that you hear a lot in unity circles. And generally, you hear it in response to some catastrophe, a tornado or an earthquake or a tsunami. A couple of weeks ago, we had this whole thing with Hurricane Dorian that basically annihilated and destroyed the Bahamas. And when these things occur, there's always some loss of life involved. And again, you'll hear somebody say the words, "It's all in divine order." And while this really might be true, in the sense that every raindrop, every wave of the ocean, every gust of wind at 180 miles per hour, every piece of particle or dust that fills the air, all of it is behaving and complying in accordance with the laws of physics. But while that is the case, for me, in my own mind, it resurrects an expression that I heard many, many years ago as a kid. Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And while this is also true, because Spirit and God are active in the world and active in the universe, in which we are on a never-ending quest to understand. But I believe when we refer to divine order in this context, we are really reducing it to a catchphrase, a garbage can term, where we can comfortably and conveniently put in a file of our own ignorance. In reality, divine order is so much more. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, identified it as one of the 12 powers for a reason. And whether you are aware of it or not, you have been using divine power every day of your life on all sorts of things. You use it when you determine that first you need to put on your pants before you should put on your shoes. And you use it when you realize, geez, I better take these shoes off if I want to take my pants off. And these might seem like very trivial examples, but they're really very good examples of what divine order is all about. We have this thing that because we hear something in a church class, or we hear something in a church sermon or some churchy context, that we compartmentalize it, that we don't incorporate that into what we're doing in our everyday life. And we lose sight of the fact that the 12 powers, for example, are very, very practical applications for what we do day in and day out. And I think we just have this human tendency to disassociate ourselves from that stuff because we're busy dealing with all of the things that happen to us, all of the things that come at us in life. And we just lose that sense of what's really important. And divine order may be the most practical out of all of the 12 powers. Mr. Fillmore defined divine order as the faculty to establish harmony and balance, right adjustment, and a right sequence of actions in our lives. And you can apply that power to absolutely everything that you do in your life, whether it's something small or whether you're embarking upon something that is really kind of a matter of life or death. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the gospel story of Martha and Mary. And Martha had her list of priorities. She was concerned about getting the house in order and cooking meals, you know, all of those practical things. And Mary's priority at that time was to give her full focused attention to Jesus. These are sisters who had very different priorities, but they both had priorities. And the worst case scenario for us is when our highest priority is to try to not establish priorities for ourselves and our lives. And when we do this, what we are really giving is a spiritual whatever. And when we do this when we live our lives as spectators more than participants. And we do this when we live our lives by allowing somebody else to write the script for our life story. And when we do these things, we are just absolutely giving away our power of divine order. And with it, we're giving away our liberty and freedom. We lose sight of the fact that divine order is a power. It's a spiritual muscle. Last week, Saturday, we had this whole crazy thing that happened in the kitchen, which I think you're all aware about at this point. And at that moment of crisis, you know, people in our church, a couple of leaders in this church, stepped forward. And they analyzed the situation, and they weighed the situation, and they took some sort of action. I think that they did a magnificent job. I absolutely do. But think about it. How many times in our personal lives, on a day-in, day-out basis, that we allow the muck in our lives to grow up past our knees and sometimes all the way up to our necks. And it's remarkable. Not only that we don't do anything about it, but we don't even have thoughts of what we can do about it. This is what victimhood is all about. It's a decision on our part. I'll put up with the garbage. I'll put up with the muck that arises in my life. I'll put up with the pain. I'll put up with the suffering. Just don't ask me to change. Just don't ask me to do something. And so again, it's a trade-off that we make. There's a scene that's been played out in hundreds of television episodes and movies. And I'm sure you're going to relate to it right away because I'm sure at one point in life you've witnessed this. And that's the scene where there's a time bomb that is ticking down. and the bomb squad is called in, you know, and the bomb squad technician, you know, opens the case or the bomb or whatever, and he's going about the business of trying to, what do I need to do to defuse this, to disarm this bomb? And the climax builds and the drama builds, and it usually goes down to the last 3 or 4 seconds, right? But what that technician is doing is he's exercising that power of divine order to try to establish what is the right logical sequence that leads up to me making the decision, do I cut the red wire or do I cut the green wire? And it is possible that he could make a mistake. Maybe not in Hollywood, but in real life, he may make a mistake. But one thing is absolutely positively for sure. If he doesn't exercise his power of divine order and does nothing, that bomb is going to absolutely explode. You own this power. It is yours to utilize in practical ways in your life. And you could ask yourself really fundamental questions. What can I do to improve my relationships? What can I do to enjoy better health? What can I do to get out from under financially and start to enjoy prosperity in my life? What can I do to improve my life so that I can begin to wear a smile and laugh more frequently? Instead of always being bothered and inhibited by thoughts that make me sad and bring me down. Divine order will not provide the answers to those questions. The answers to those questions come in the use of other powers, like wisdom and understanding and faith and love. But when it comes to implementing the plan, when it comes to identifying a blueprint or a recipe to make those things happen in our lives, that is precisely what divine order is all about. So what about that big picture? You know, all those world catastrophes that we're not in a position to do anything about. Why don't we just write them off? After all, it's the will of God. Well, you know, it's really kind of strange because if you've been paying attention, we as in humankind, humanity, really kind of have been trying to do something about these catastrophes. And we're not in a position where we could, you know, diffuse or divert a hurricane at this point in our history. But we are in a position, remarkably, to predict it. I was amazed a couple of weeks ago when Hurricane Dorian was on its path, and they all of a sudden knew that this thing was not going to touch down in Florida, but it was going to veer off to the right. Absolutely fascinating. This is something we did not have at our disposal as recently as 50 or 60 years ago. And the point I'm trying to make here is that science is dedicated to using this power of divine order. I actually believe, I really do in my heart, that the day will come when we will be able to deal with a situation like this and take on Mother Nature as we better understand the laws of physics and everything else. And the day might actually come where we will diffuse a hurricane. Science has been very dedicated, for example, in alerting us about the dangers of global warming. And it has been very good in alerting us in terms of what steps we might be able to take to deal with this crisis. And maybe you're in that family that says, you know what, I don't buy into this whole global warming thing. And that's fine. Science has been wrong before. And I can't stand up here and tell you they're wrong here. All the evidence says that they're not wrong. And that's okay. But what if you do believe that there is a crisis here with global warming? What steps are you taking in your life to deal with it? Are you walking on occasion and parking the car when it's possible to do so? Are you using less plastic in your life day in and day out? You know, when you go to a restaurant, are you taking a straw and putting it in your drink? Are you doing any of these things? Or are you just taking your God-given power of divine order and placing it on a shelf in the closet? Nobody can determine for you what steps you should take in dealing with any situation, whether you're trying to save the world, whether you're trying to get dressed in the morning, whether you're trying to break a habit, or whatever the case may be. Oh, there's lots of advice out there, and certainly the advertising world is going to be very deliberate in outlining the steps that you need to take if you want to be a full, whole, accepted human being. But ultimately, this is yours to own. And like any muscle, it needs to be exercised to develop and to grow. And so what I'm suggesting to you today is to try to have a higher, greater consciousness, awareness that you have this wherewithal. And it's just a question of honing it in, whether it's involving a decision of what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow. Am I going to quit my job? Am I going to take more seriously this relationship that I'm in? And on and on and on. And then let the steps follow. In his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, Stephen Covey identified the third habit as putting first things first. Putting first things first is a process of combining your understanding that you are in charge along with the life goals that you have set for yourself. Years ago, there was a very, very famous National Football League coach, Tom Landry, and he was questioned one time, "Why is it, how is it that you're so successful?" And he answered, "I do what anybody does who is successful in life. I set my priorities. God, family, football." So what practical advice do I have to offer you today how to maximize this power? Well, the key is not to prioritize what is on your schedule. The key is to schedule your priorities. The key is to embrace your spiritual reality and be mindful of your spiritual reality much more so than a clock or a calendar. And like with so many other things, it all begins and ends with prayer. Our way shower Jesus gave us the advice, "Seek ye first the kingdom." And let me just close by sharing with you this reading from Psalm 63. "O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Divine order is all about satisfying that hunger. Divine order is all about determining the right sequence, the right steps to quench that thirst. Beyond this, I really have no other advice to give to you other than to work at it. So let's take this to prayer and to meditation.